I'd like to express a sincere gratitude for the opportunity to be involved in the ministry this particular few days we've had together. I've been convicted, challenged, encouraged along the way, and I trust that all of us, when we leave, will be a changed group of people who will help us to implement the truths that we've seen together. Much asked, the goal that I was presented with was to discuss how to reach youth, how to impact youth, how to revive youth, how to instill a commitment in the youth of today. And yesterday, you might recall that we suggested, instead of coming up with the latest and the greatest philosophy, youth ministry strategy that is available in every Christian bookstore, I thought it'd be appropriate and applicable for us to look at the strategy of the Savior and to try to address biblical discipleship. What does that look like? What does that mean, a term that's thrown around regularly and often a term that's confused? So we began by looking at your goldenrod handout, by investigating the strategy of the Savior. What did he do? And so we're going to have just a quick review to see how you did after lunch yesterday in regards to looking at what the Savior suggested and evidenced in his strategy with the 12. We looked at Mark 3:14. We began there and he said, let's see what the Savior did. And the verse says he chose the 12, which was what? Correction. In order to be with them, which was what? That he might send them forth to preach, which was what? Exactly. The selection process. The association process. Spending time with. And the end result being delegation. Sending them forth to do a particular job. We saw the strategy develop a bit more in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, letter A, impartation. Impartation, where the goal is for the student to be fully trained. Fully trained. We looked at Matthew chapter 10. The word was what? Letter B? Imitation. Not many got that. Imitation. To become as, to become like the instructor, the teacher. And then we looked at the great invitation to come where? Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, and learn from me. The invitation of the Savior to come learn. And then we touched on the imperative, the one command of Matthew 28, to make disciples. We took the time to investigate how the word disciple was used, the different ways, the different accounts of how the word disciple was used, the different levels of commitment in regards to one being curious, one being convinced, one being committed. And then we looked at a definition, a working definition of what the word disciple means. The verb form, a student or learner, the noun form, a student or learner. The verb, to learn. Combining those two, to make a learner, a student. And then we define the word disciple as this. A student or learner of the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. Who not only learns what he taught, but who lives what he taught. I'd like to finish the particular handout that you have by looking at the great command, the great commission, with a little more detail. So I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and as you turn, I'd like to challenge you to think as if you were one of the 11 who originally received this commission, who originally received this one command from the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like for you to imagine how they reacted. How would you have reacted? And we discussed that a bit yesterday together. We'll quickly look at the precepts of the commission to discipleship. What all does this entail? Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We begin by seeing the concept that it's universal. Can you imagine how the 11 responded? Actually, how you responded as you're imagining that you are one of them, the 11. When the Lord Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Universal. It's powerful. This great commissioning. And the disciples heard that. All authority has been given to me, the Lord Jesus said. In heaven and on earth. Would that be reassuring to you as one of the 11? Would that be encouraging to know that this commissioning has authority and has power behind it? It's universal. Let it be, it's personal. The 11 could respond as if the Lord Jesus was saying it specifically to each one of them. And so can we today. One command given to the 11, given to us as well. What is it? Our personal responsibility is the same for you as it is for me, as it is for every believer. We are to do what? Make disciples. It's a personal commissioning. We are all to be about the business of making disciples. And the 11 understood that. They understood the power behind this statement. They understood that it was a personal commissioning. They understood the extent of it, that it was international. All nations. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Starting where you are, and letting it roll. International, this commissioning. This command that was given to the 11. Are you thinking about it as if you were one of the 11 this afternoon? Because I think we all would agree when we talk to one another that the great command isn't really a priority of ours like it should be. We've been challenged to go share the gospel. We went to Waffle House last night as if we hadn't had enough food. We went to Waffle House to get some smothered and covered hash browns. Amen. A divine appointment, if you will. And I tell you what, I felt sorry for the waitress. I knew that she was going to get the gospel sick. And by 7 or 8 guys, hey, what's your name? How's your day going? Hey, what are you doing? Tell me about your story. Everybody was convicted to share the good news after hearing the stories of the good news of the gospel being shared. It's a convicting challenge, but is it a priority? When we leave here today, we go home, are we going to get back into the routine where we're really not sharing the gospel too terribly much? And more importantly, we're not about the business of making disciples. It's confessional. Letter D. Baptism has everything to do with identifying oneself with the person and work of Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection. And it's saying, I want you to know that I am his. This is a great commission. This is a great command. And it's confessional. And the identification of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's informational, isn't it? How much were they to impart to those that would come along the way that they would make disciples of? How much were they to share? The whole thing! It's informational. Everything he commanded the disciples, they were to tell the individuals that they had the privilege to share this good news with. Not just that Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, and you need to trust in him and receive him, and end of story. That's important. Don't get me wrong. I believe that as much as the next person. But everything that they had learned, they were to share. All that I commanded you. It's information. It's also transformational. The goal is that of obedience towards the Lord Jesus Christ. The goal of obedience. Not just saying, this is what the Lord taught us. But responding in such a way that one is to live this out. Not just learning, that's part of being a disciple, isn't it? The cognitive gathering of information, but also living this information out. It's transformational. The goal of obedience toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, it's possible. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So how do you respond, 11? What's the response there? How do you think they reacted after hearing this great commissioning? The Lord is leaving the scene. The Lord just spent time associating with these 11, investing in their lives, imparting truth, and saying, imitate me. And now he makes this statement, and what is the response? I imagine they were pretty excited. Fear?
Sure.
Unsure of the results? Absolutely. But understanding what the Lord Jesus Christ has just said in great detail, I'm sure they said, let's get it done. Let's go do this. There's a job that we have just been commanded to do. Make disciples. Well, let's do it. Two principles that can be seen. As the Savior has commanded the 12, the 11 here rather. Three principles. First is this, that people are a higher priority than programs. Could have brought all kinds of youth ministry philosophy, youth ministry programs, and the like. Could have told you all kinds of conferences to go and the latest and greatest speakers in regards to youth ministry. Programs are not what transform. We need to focus on people and the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ transforms. People are a higher priority than programs. Letter B. Maturity is more important than material. The goal is that they would hear all that the Lord Jesus Christ would teach them. That there would be growth, that there would be development, that there would be obedience and transformation because of who Christ has done and the identification with his finished work. Maturity is more important than materials. And finally, and quickly, Christ is more critical than institutions. What do we need to emphasize? I'm a Bible college graduate. I'm a seminary graduate. That doesn't mean squat. I'm thankful for those privileges and learned a ton. And I'm not ashamed to say it. But what is the priority here, folks? The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is what is critical. Not any other institution, not any other emphasis. The Lord Jesus Christ is what needs to be conveyed. And that's the heart of the gospel message. So how do we respond, 11? What's your response this afternoon? I think they went out. Automatically, it's assumed that they would be going. Participial phrase. Automatically, it's assumed that they would be teaching, baptizing and teaching. Those three are not commanded. They weren't commanded to do that. They were commanded to make disciples. Those other three, it is assumed, would be taking place while you are obeying the one command. And I think they got after it. I think they got busy. I think they said, let's obey. And that's the pattern that can be seen in the early church. Let's take another look at an individual who believed in that pattern. And the emphasis that he had in the same truth of discipleship. His name is Paul, and he emphasized that greatly in his relationship to Timothy. I invite you to turn to 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Dr. Smith is on a plane by now, so I can say this. Thought he was going to steal this whole passage this morning. But thankfully he just made reference, and I'm grateful that he did. This is, again, what needs to be emphasized in youth ministry as well as adult ministry. One and the same. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This is a critical passage, critical section of Paul's last will and testament to young Timothy. It's the hinge of the book. Chapter 1, he had just reminded him of who he was and what he has in the Lord Jesus Christ and how important that is to hang on to. To guard, to protect, to not let anybody mess with, because it's true. And he summarizes chapter 1 in verse 1 of chapter 2, and he says this, "You therefore, in light of everything I've just said in chapter 1, Timothy, my son in the faith, the man in which I've seen grow from salvation to being a faithful minister of the word of God, you therefore, my son, be strong Folks, you know what young people need to hear today? A personal challenge face to face by someone who is more mature in their Christian walk, lovingly and sincerely. You know what they need to hear you say to them? Be strong. This term is not a light term. It's a term of steely determination. Dogged tenacity. Paul is saying, listen, something is at stake here, Timothy. You know what was at stake? You know why Paul longed so desperately for Timothy to be strong? Do you know why? Truth was at stake. The truth of the Word of God. And so he wants Timothy to be strong in that. Reread chapter 1 on your way home unless you drive. And you may do that as well. I do from time to time. Be alert. What did he say? What did he say in chapter 1? Timothy, you have a great heritage. Timothy, you have a spiritual gift. Timothy, you have a spirit of power and not timidity. Timothy, let me take a minute to remind you of the truth of the gospel, that when Christ came, death was abolished and life was brought and immortality. Let me remind you of that. Let me ask you to do this. Let me encourage you to make this decision. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ or of me as prisoner. What else did he say in chapter 1? I know who I believed in, and I'm persuaded, I'm convinced that he is able to what? Keep that which I committed unto him against that day. You think Paul knew what he believed? You better believe it. You think he wanted Timothy to be that committed? You better believe it. Be strong. There's going to be people who desert the truth because of the pressure that Nero's bringing on Christians. There's going to be people who say, it's too hot. It's too difficult. I'm out. But then there's going to be examples of faithful individuals. Be like them. There's not many. At the end of this letter, he says pretty much, I'm alone. But he begins chapter 2 by saying, Timothy, my son in the faith, be strong. Be committed to the truth of the Word of God. Guard it. Protect it. Realize that it's a treasure. That's why I committed myself unto him. Because I know that this is truth. Timothy, maintain truth. Be strong. I haven't been in youth ministry too terribly long, maybe 10, 12 years, something like that. The biggest lesson I've learned is this. The Word of God is what needs to be emphasized with you. We can have all kinds of fun, and we do. We can go to all kinds of events, and we do. But without apology, the emphasis of the youth ministry that I'm involved with is teaching young men and young women the Word of God. And Paul was saying to Timothy, that's what you need to be strong in. Reread chapter 1. Be reminded of what Timothy was reminded of. And then he makes a statement which often isn't given much attention, but the means by which one can be strong, the means by which one can do what he is asking Timothy to do, is the Spirit of God and the grace that can be found in Christ Jesus. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How are we going to be strong? How are we going to be able to stay committed to the truth and dedicated and sold out? How are we going to do that? How are you going to do that? How is Timothy to do that? How are the young people that we care about, how are they going to remain strong? What's the answer? I wish I knew. I wish it was right there clear for us in the text. Wait, it is. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's a great illustration of grace. A golfing story. How true they are, you never know. Isn't that right, Brother Hollingsworth? Brother Hill. Our farmer was in a tournament, international tournament, a charity tournament. And there was a very rich sheik who was playing against him in the tournament. Arnold won the tournament, and the sheik came up to him and said, hey, what would you like, sir, for your prize? And Arnold said, listen, this is a charity tournament, no big deal. How about giving me one of your golf clubs? The sheik said, all right, I'll send you one of my golf clubs. Weeks passed. Arnold Palmer gets in the mail a deed to one of the sheik's golf clubs. all 18 holes. Unmerited, undeserved favor. Grace. That's what we are to stand in. We've been given a bit of that, haven't we, by the Lord Jesus Christ? It's amazing we sing, don't we? That's what we are to stand in. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All the ground is what? Be strong, Timothy, my son, in the faith, and stand in the grace of Christ Jesus. And then let's look at the pattern that we see in Paul and Timothy's relationship. That is very much a discipleship relationship. Very similar to the strategy and pattern evidenced by the Savior that we looked at yesterday in a quick review today. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul desperately was committed to the truth. Desperately was committed to the truth of the gospel message and was concerned that individuals were changing it, were twisting it, were making it something that it is not, questioning the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The literal bodily death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was at stake here. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, look, everything that you've heard from me in the presence of these witnesses, some say that that has something to do with Timothy's ordaining, his ordination, when he was identified as someone who had a special gift, a spiritual gift God-given for ministry. And in the presence of these witnesses, Paul makes this statement. Some suggest that it has to do with the ministry that Paul and Timothy had together in sharing the truth of God's message. Regardless, he makes mention of several different people. Himself, Timothy, witnesses, and folks who are faithful, able to teach others also. Number five. He's concerned about the passing of truth. I watched the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. Most of it was pretty weak. However, I always enjoy when the torch comes in to stay. And this particular time, they had seasoned athletes, Olympians who were tested and proven, who were actually, if you will, faithful in their particular sport of choice, event of choice. And one Olympian passed the torch to another Olympian, until finally it was passed to whom? Do you recall? Anybody see? Sure. The U.S. hockey team, Mike Arruzio. And they lit the torch. It was an exciting event to see the torch, which represented success, being passed from one Olympian to another Olympian to another Olympian. Paul is wanting to do that with the very truth of God's Word. He's saying it's worthwhile. I've sacrificed my life for it. That's what I've entrusted because of this truth. And Timothy, the things that you have heard from me in the presence of these witnesses, I want you to do something. I want you to take that truth and I want you to deposit it, to entrust it. That's what the word means. To deposit. Safely secure this truth to fat people. Those who are faithful, able to teach. There's a process that was to take place from the Great Commissioning, the Great Command, to Paul's day where he was involved in the life of Timothy and discipling him in a biblical sense of the term. And Paul desperately wanted Timothy to pass that torch of truth along to individuals who he has observed carefully, who he has seen evidence the fact that they are faithful, able to teach others all. So what would be the end result? And so on, and so on, and so on. The concept of multiplication. What is that? What is that? Was the torch dropped? Is the torch being passed today? Are we emphasizing the same commitment to truth and entrusting it to faithful individuals so they would be able to see the results?
Yes,
let's imagine, if you will, that we split this room in half. Mr. Denning, you're on the left half, right down here. This half of the room has been convicted this weekend, and they say, you know what, I need to share the gospel. I really do. Whether it's at Waffle House, whether it's at another particular restaurant, or wherever I am, I need to share it. And each of you share the gospel, and as a result of God using you, this one tongue that you're able to share about. And God will connect you. One particular individual that each of you share the gospel with, and they came to know Christ. However, you don't have any more interaction with these individuals. Don't have any more interaction. Don't talk to them. Don't teach them anything. Don't invite them to be a committed part of the local church. You share Christ with them. They trust in Christ. Amen. And you rejoice over you. That's it. End of story. Don't talk to them again.
This half of the room, however,
does the same thing. They share the gospel with an individual, and the Lord uses that to allow that individual to respond to the truth, the good news, and they trust Christ sincerely and wholeheartedly. But not only does that make way, if you say, you know what, I want to meet you here next week at this particular time. And we're going to do it every week from here on out. And I'm going to invite you to church, and I'm going to explain to you what the local church is all about. I want to teach you how to share the gospel just like I shared it with you.
I want you to understand that you have a God-given ability to serve, a spiritual gift, a responsibility to the local church. Don't understand what that is? Let me explain that to you as well. Because I want to teach to you everything that has been taught to me. And as a result, that person
leads another person to the Lord in that particular year. And they do exactly what you have done in the past. You're still doing it, but that's what they do is with that individual that is gone, because they're ready. And maybe two or three individuals accept Christ. Multiplication takes place. Not because you're better, not because you're more spiritual, but because you understand the great command to make disciples. The command is not to go and just make sure this tract is distributed, to make sure this information is presented, and make sure someone trusts in Christ, and that's it. That's the start.
That's where it begins. And the idea is to train and to teach, which takes time.
Paul is saying, listen, Timothy, take time to train and to teach and to entrust this truth to faithful individuals. Someone has said that the church is very busy these days, but not too terribly productive. It's been said that the church is producing mules instead of horses. What does that mean? Mules can work hard, can't they? But they can't reproduce. We're busy. But are we productive? Make disciples. Timothy, understand how valuable this truth is. Timothy, understand why I've sacrificed my life for the cause of Christ and the truth of the gospel message. Understand that. And you do the same. And you entrust, deposit this truth to faithful folks so they'll be able to do the same. Now there's individuals doing that here, I know. There's women who are doing a great job of that. Some better than men. Had a chance to talk with Miss Joyce Baranow. She's all about this right now. Meeting with women individually and training them. Spoke to Mrs. Mary Lou Feeling. Involved in the same type of discipling and training of young people, so they might be able to teach others also. It's not just a ministry for men, it's a ministry for all who are children of God. And if we're honest and observe, it seems like the ladies have had a good understanding of this, but the guys perhaps just don't have the time. Third world countries. I have a problem with starvation. Not enough food. There's a great strategy that was developed to solve this problem. Here's the strategy. They were given two rabbits, a male and a female, a pen for the rabbits, some vegetation, leafy foods for the rabbits. And the idea was this, feed the rabbits. And wait. He's always pretty good at these things. And eventually, over a period of time, reproduction, multiplication will take place. And those infamous rabbit pellets will be produced as well. And you can take those pellets and use that for fertilization, which will help you have more vegetation for the feeding of these rabbits. And over time, you'll have more rabbits than you know what to do with. You've seen the phone commercial, haven't you? Strategy didn't work. It was in place. It made sense. There would be plenty of food over a period of time. It didn't work. You want to know why? They ate the rabbits. The original two. They just couldn't hang in there. For the appropriate strategy, the right strategy to develop and work. What is the strategy for us believers? What are we supposed to be doing? Making disciples. What does that look like? We've seen it in the life of Paul and Timothy. Paul depositing this truth to Timothy, showing the importance of it, the emphasis of it, and the need to be strong in it by the grace that can be found in Christ Jesus. And then Timothy taking that same truth that originally came from the disciples who responded and said, you know what? I'm going to do what God has just commanded me to do, make disciples. Timothy then taking that and looking for faithful people. Individuals that he could say, I'm going to deposit this truth to you. Here's a challenge, practical for you, right now before you. Men and women, leaders, those who are more spiritually mature and experienced, who is the individual? We'll make it easy and we'll say one. Who is the individual that you observe to be faithful, able to teach? Who is that person that over the next year you're going to take the time to associate with them as you prayerfully consider who the Lord would want you to do that with? You're going to take the time to impart truth that you've received along the way. You're going to take the time and encourage them to look at my life and imitate me as I'm striving to imitate Christ. Who's that person? I want to give you 30 seconds or a minute to come up with a name that actually belongs to a person that you actually really want to, over the next period of time, disciple. Because they've evidenced the fact that they're faithful, they're able to teach. And you want to entrust the truth that was entrusted to you to them. Take 30 seconds and then we want to hear from you. Who's that person? John, are you saying all of us have to come up with a name in the next minute? Yes. Because I think we're all supposed to be doing this. Making disciples. Still should have a Paul in our life, but we need a Timothy in our life as well. So who's the Timothy going to be? Some of you are ready, I can tell. Got a name, been thinking about it this weekend. These few days. Who comes to mind? We might not know him, but it might encourage us to hear you respond and say, I've got somebody. This is what I'm going to do the next year. Your turn. Anybody come to mind?
Kevin Abraham.
Somebody else? Somebody else?
Rick Calvin.
Yes, sir. Somebody? What's that? Maxwell. Chris Arnold is on my list. Bill Grizzard is on my list. A guy named Austin Benedict is on my list. Who's on your list? I know Nicholas. Good man to have on your list, man. Somebody else is on your list. Now some of you are thinking this boy is a little eccentric, a little out there. Truth be known. You're right. That's all right. trying to make this as practical as we can. Because we're supposed to be making disciples. That's not hard to be seen. We're supposed to share the good news of the gospel of Christ and then teach and then train and develop so they can do that with other folks. That's been seen this weekend. I've been convicted of that. Who else comes to mind? Nothing magical about being the one who verbally shares. I know many of you had a person in mind. Hopefully all of you did. What's the goal? For them to be disciples as we are striving to be disciples. I want to read something in closing. This was posted to the bed of an individual who was serving the Lord in Africa, the story is told. And it's entitled, The Fellowship of the Unashamed. Listen to the words. This is the goal for youth and adult ministry. The Fellowship of the Unashamed. I am part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, products, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, top, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence, learn by faith, love by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let go, or slow up until I've preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till I know, and work till He stops. And when He comes to give His own, He'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Amen? Let's pray together. Father God, we ask for Your help. Father, it's not too terribly difficult to see the truth found in Your Word. Father, the great command of Matthew 28, we understand. We see. And we need Your help to reprioritize. So that is on top of our list. Father, help us to have a sincere desire, Father God, to make disciples, I pray. Father, we ask that we would look at the examples of Paul and Timothy and the type of relationship that they had. Father, I pray that each individual here, that we would have an individual in mind, an individual that we are already investing in, training, teaching, which takes time, Father. Help us not to be busy, but rather productive. Father, help us to understand the value of truth, that it's in jeopardy, Your good news, the gospel message. Paul wanted to protect it, wanted Timothy to protect it and guard it. And Father, we need to do the same as well. So may we carefully, selectively, choose faithful individuals to share this truth, to impart this truth. Dude, Father, help us at that end. May it be obvious that we are followers of Yours. May we be learners. May we be livers of what Jesus thought and what He taught. And may our colors be clear. Help us to go away a changed people, an encouraged people, a convicted people, a purposeful people who want to be strong in Your grace. With dogged tenacity and steely determination, help us, Father, we pray. And it's in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we ask and pray these things. Amen.